God, that we just want to pray tonight that you would speak through your word, that you would just be real in our lives, and God, that we would stop trying to figure it out on our own. We would stop trying to make our own plays and create our own agendas and think that we've got it all under control, because God, we know that every time we do that, it stuffs up. And God, I pray that tonight you really just speak into our hearts, God, no matter where we're up to, whether we would call ourselves a Christian or not, it doesn't matter, Lord, we know your word is real, and that you would just speak to us. And Lord, just thank you for your grace and your power that is available to us every day. God, I pray that you just use me tonight, Lord, that it would just be none of me, so that I wouldn't be able to just say how good I am or something, God, but this would just be your word. Amen. Awesome. Thanks, Liz. Now the other guys have already left. All right. How good! Like, I just love our music, and get the EP if you can. What I love about it more than anything, though, like when we were doing the EP launch, a bunch of people were saying, "Oh wow, you guys have some really good musos, and they do such a good job, and all this stuff." And what I love about that is that every person, like, they're not about themselves, and their talent is not about themselves, but everybody is, like Adrian was never a bass player, and you've heard me say this before, maybe, but he was a guitarist. He was like, I don't play bass, but he saw that there was a need for a bass player, and he picked it up, and he's one of the best bass players I know now, it's the same for all of these guys. Like, it's people that just said, God, you've given me something here. You've given me a talent. And I loved Heath's word around the offering. Like, you've given me this thing, which, by the way, is priceless. Like, it's so valuable, even no matter how insignificant we think it is. And these guys just didn't bury it. It's as simple as that. And that's just what I want my whole life to be, that I wouldn't bury what God's given me. That's just crazy. If somebody gave you $840,000, you would not bury it. You wouldn't. You'd do anything but bury that thing. And that's what it says. Even the master in that parable says, well, at least you could have put it in a bank to get some interest. Like, even that would have been better than burying it in the dirt. It probably killed the plants. And so we've been given these gifts not so that, we can bury them, but so that we can be a blessing. And so that, I don't know. It's like you've got that money and you put it in the ground, but then you still check the stock market every week and expect that you're making money off that thing, but you haven't invested in it. And we do that with our lives, and we have these gifts and these talents that we've buried, but we still go, where's the fruit, God? Why aren't you doing stuff in my life? Why aren't you blessing me? And I think God's just been like, because you're an idiot. No, not quite. But he's like, well, I want to. And all I want is to bless. And all I want is to have relationship with you. But you buried the thing. And when it's buried in the ground, I can't do anything with it. And you're getting that? Yeah. Cool. That's not my message at all. But, it's just a freebie. Just before I start, I feel like I have to mention my lack of facial hair. Because since today, by the way, if this is your first time, I've had a beard for a year. And so for prostate cancer research, it's all gone. So you can sponsor me to grow a moustache to support men's health, and that's a really cool cause. So I just thought I would put that out there. I'm not 17. That's why I'm saying this now. So maybe if you're ready, if you care and if you want to say something, I'm going to count to three. Then after three, you can make your comment and then we'll move on. Is that cool? All right, ready? One, two, three. Awesome. All right, so we're done. Beautiful. You can sponsor me for Movember. If anybody else comes and says that I look like I'm 15 or I look exactly like my dad, you've had your chance. Too late now, Heath. You haven't missed it. You've been saying stuff all day. All right. I just want to share this message that's on my heart tonight that isn't like, I don't know, it's not 6 points or something like that. And I kind of was thinking about that today as I was preparing, thinking pretty much every single time I preach, it's not a standard kind of 6 point, 3 point, how to, blah, blah, which those are great. And we do those and I do them sometimes. But tonight I just kind of want to talk about what God's been putting on my heart and what he's been, I really feel like what God's been speaking to me. And so I kind of called this message went through a few different names. It was like, overcoming circumstance, and I thought that sounded a bit too preachy, and so then it was like me, bad stuff, and God, and now it's just going to be called It All Hangs on This. And this comes from Matthew 22:37-40. There's these guys that they're religious guys, and they come up to Jesus and they're like, Jesus, what's the most important thing, like the most important command? Because these guys were all about commands, they were all about the law, they were like, that was their thing, that was, to be honest, that was their God, was the law, and what was right and what was wrong. And so they're trying to get Jesus stuck on this, and he says this: love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence. This is the most important, the first on any list. But there's a second to set alongside it. Love others as well as you love yourself. These two commands are pegs. Everything hangs from them. And I've been thinking about this a lot lately and really just feeling God say some stuff on this, because I think that we make things like first, we make other things first. We hang our life on a lot of stuff. And Jesus says, no, love God and love people. That's what you hang your life on. That's what you can put as the thing that everything else hangs off. That's the peg that you will build from. And so that's kind of, as a kind of an introduction to what I want to talk about a bit tonight. Because stuff happens in our lives, yeah? Bad stuff happens, whether you've done it, like it was something that you did that was stupid, and so then bad stuff happens, or somebody else did it, and it's their fault, or whether it was nobody's fault, and it just happened, and it's just bad. That kind of happens a lot. Doesn't it? Yeah. Okay, cool. And even when you're a Christian, that happens, yeah? Wow, that's a revelation. And so stuff will happen in our lives, and we have this tendency to blame God for it. And I think a lot of the time God's just like, whoa, come on. Like, look at yourself first, maybe, before you blame the Almighty. Anyway, that's just an aside. And so there's been stuff in my life that's happened and is happening, and I've just been really seeking God and wanting to find his direction and do that through my life. And so this is kind of what I'm sharing this out of. Is that cool? Is everybody with me? Thanks. I feel like God's really just, he's speaking and he's trying to set some stuff up for my future. And I think as we get to, maybe it's just me or maybe it's everybody, and you get to this stage of your life where you're going into kind of new areas or trying to decide what to do next, whether you've just finished school or you've just finished uni or whatever, where you're trying to figure things out. And I really feel like God is trying to simplify my life and simplify my relationship with him. And when I say that, I don't mean like try and just be lazy or something like that, but really get everything hanging on what it needs to hang on. And so I kind of want to share what I feel God's been really speaking to me. So this isn't like my genius wisdom or really kind of points or something, but what God's really, I think, been saying to me. So is that good? Well, I think it's good. So, you know, it's one of those questions where even if you said no, I was still going to keep preaching. I've been loving, like, this is the last week officially of Jesus All About Life, the advertising campaign. And it's been great and caused lots of questions. And I'm sure people have seen, if you haven't seen the signs, you can still, there's one in our garden, two in our garden. So get to have a look before we're done. But I was thinking about this stuff the other day, and I was thinking about how, yeah, it's true. Jesus is all about life, and he is all about our lives and living life to the full. But I think that I want to start a follow-up ad campaign that's life all about Jesus. Where it's not like what I think God can do for me. And church is not this kind of blessing club, but where it's like, Jesus, my life is yours. And so I think that's kind of the question that the God's been bringing me back to, and that I really feel like God wants to say to some people tonight. And so hopefully you can receive that. But God is just saying, am I first? And if you've been around church and all of that, then you know that the appropriate answer is yes. That's not what I'm talking about. It's not head knowledge, but it's a heart posture where you can literally and honestly and deeply look at your life and be like, yeah, God's first. Yeah, my life is about Jesus because of who he is and what he's done for me. And I know that there's no other way to live. I know that. So these are some thoughts and some revelations and some questions that have come out of that question in my life. God, are you first? And God's just really saying, am I first in your life? And I encourage you to just think about that question and just have a think about that maybe, because we put a lot of things first and a lot of things don't work. And I only know one thing that does work to put first, and that's God. So that's what I've been thinking about. So that's what I'm going to get into it, okay, just finally. I was away at a church conference thing a couple of weeks ago, and I was thinking about this stuff, and I was really trying to seek God and really just be like, God, speak to me and do all that and really trying really hard. And we were just in worship, and I just felt God really say, like, it wasn't like
God,
like that booming voice, it was just in my spirit, just say, relax, Andrew, relax. Because I think we bust a gut trying to do the job that God has, like his job. We try and do what God's supposed to do ourselves, and we just get so wrecked trying to do it. And God was just saying to me, just relax, just embrace me. Let me be me. Let God be God in your life. We want control, and in a way, we want it to be hard. Like, if it's not hard, then it's not right. Like, if we're not struggling and sweating and bleeding, then it's not the right thing. Is anybody else with me on that? But that's not how we were supposed to live. And Jesus says that his burden is easy. Because it's not straining and striving in our own effort. It's giving it up to God. And part of surrendering your life and putting God first is to give your effort to him. It's not just giving him everything, like the stuff in your life, but it's saying, God, I'm even going to give my trying to be good to you. It's all yours. In Ephesians 2. Ooh, somebody's phone. It says in verse 4 to 10, I'm just going to read a little bit of it. It says, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. That's just the stuff that we've done wrong. It's by grace you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Jesus Christ. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It's like God's saying, I am waiting just to show you how graceful and how much blessing I can put in your life. And I'm excited about an eternity where I can just pour out my incomparable riches. And it's all through God's grace. It's never through stuff that we can try and do ourselves. It's not, and this is what I feel God's been saying, it's not by my effort, but it's by His Spirit. And He was just like, stop trying so hard and just embrace me. Just give God a hug. Stop like trying to put that in Philippians 4, it says, or 3, sorry. I'm just gonna read a chunk of it. Paul here is talking, and Paul was one of those guys that he was a religious guy, and he was all about the law, and that was what he lived his life by. And then he was touched by Jesus in this incredible experience, and it just transformed his life. And he says this. So Paul says, I've got heaps of reasons to have confidence in the flesh. I'm just paraphrasing, in the stuff of your life. He says, other people think they have reasons. I've got more. And he just lists all this stuff. He's like, I was in the right tribe, and I was this zealot for the law of God, and I persecuted the church. Like, that's a kind of claim there. And he says, and he has righteousness based on the law. But in verse 7 he says, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What's more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. He says, I don't want to have confidence in my own talent or my own ability or my own upbringing or my family or the things that I think are right in my life. I want my confidence to be in Jesus and in what He did for me. And in that faith is where my confidence comes from. I think so often we just try and we base our lives on anything we can find that's not God. And God's just sitting there crying out saying, let me do my job. Let my power into your life. He's like LeBron on the bench saying, let me have a go. Give me the ball for a minute and watch me do something. And it's not about us like having all those answers or doing all the ticking boxes stuff. It's about God's love and His grace in our life. It's His power in our lives. And we have this God that is so incredibly powerful, that is so God. Come on. And we just, no, I've got it covered, God. That's cool. I can figure this out myself. And we neglect the power of God that is available to us, that because of what Jesus did on the cross is freely available for us to access at any moment. And so we end up with these lives where if we hang around in church, we look and we have this appearance of a Christian, but none of its power. And it doesn't matter. Like, God doesn't care whether you look like a Christian or not. But it's whether His power is in your life, whether His Spirit is in your heart, whether that's real to you is what matters. Now, I'm not trying to say let's do nothing and just sit around. Oh, we need to persevere, but not strain, not strive in our own effort. We need to push forward, but not trying to do every single thing. In Romans 5, it says, it says this, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that sufferings produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. I love this because it says, like, like we need to have perseverance. But that perseverance doesn't come from my own toughness or strength or whatever that I can do on myself, but it comes from being justified through faith. It comes from the peace that we have with God because of Christ Jesus and what he did for us, and because of that I can persevere. Not because I've got all the answers or because I'm a strong person, but because God is a strong God and he loves me. It's not about doing lots of stuff and like being a man or something like that, and that's how you persevere. It's just about knowing whose power you've got inside of you. And so I can be here and look 17 and I don't care because I've got God's power inside of me. And that's what I speak out of, not anything of my own strength that I think I might have. So we need to persevere, but that needs to be based on the God that's inside of us. Now, I hope that you're getting this tonight, and I hope it's not just like the front row that's getting this tonight, because this is really stuff that God's just been speaking to my life, and I really felt to share it with you, not because, I don't know, I want people to know what's going on in my life. I'm not really a Facebook addict, but I didn't even have a Twitter. But because I really felt God was saying to me, like, I'm teaching you this stuff and I want other people to know this stuff because it's not about me, it's about God, yeah? So the kind of last thing that I want to share is in Philippians 4, verse 7, it says this, And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And I read this the other week, or earlier in the week, and I was just thinking about how this is the peace of God that and it says transcends. Like this peace that God has given me, this peace of God, goes beyond and is bigger and greater and further and higher and everything than understanding. And so I think what that looks like in my life is that I have all of this stuff going on, and we have these times where there's just stuff happening and we're stressed and it's hard or whatever, and that you have a peace that goes beyond that natural circumstance. And I think so much, like in the world, we try and find peace in kind of peaceful places or peaceful actions. And if you're trying to find peace, you would like go down and sit at the beach, or you would meditate, or you would try something like that. You would do that sort of thing. And that's not the kind of peace that God's talking about. He's saying, look, you can have my peace in your life that goes beyond a natural understanding, that goes beyond where you are. You can be in the craziest place in the craziest time with all sorts of stuff going on, but you have the peace of God in your heart. And that goes beyond, and people will see that and be like, I have no idea why he's peaceful, because everything that's going on around him would suggest that he shouldn't be peaceful, yeah? And I don't think that I'm there with that yet, and I think that's a process, but I think that's what God was trying to say to me. It was just like, don't base your peace on the stuff that's going on in your life, because you will not have many peaceful times. If your peace is solely based on your circumstance, you'll spend your whole life trying to find that and never find it. But if your peace is based on the Spirit of God, you'll find it instantly and have it for the rest of your life. So I really think that's what God's been saying to me, and hopefully that says something to you. That we would just simplify, that we wouldn't get caught up like God. And what he did for us and what he does for us, who he is, isn't really that complicated. Like you can spend years studying Bible and doing all of that, but it pretty much is this simple thing where there's God, he's God, and we kind of all have some idea of what that means. And he created everything, and he's always there, and he's always will be. That's God. And he created us, and he wants a relationship with us. And because of the stuff that we've done wrong, we made that separation. And so then Jesus Christ came and lived like one of us and died after living this perfect life so that he could take the punishment for what we did wrong. And he could reestablish that connection with God so that we could have the relationship that God always wanted with us. That's not too complicated, is it? All right, well, that's pretty much sums it up. And so that's why I can say I want God to be first in my life, because I know that without that, there's nothing there. And without him first, there's nothing else. And I know that every time I've tried to put something else first, it's stuffed up. So let's just let God rule in our lives and let him fill us with his power and the peace that comes, that's bigger than anything that we can understand. I'm just going to pray. God, I just pray that your spirit would just be right here now. And Lord, that you would be speaking into hearts and lives, God. And whether it's people that know you and love you and feel close to you, and that's great, God, that you would just put something more and you would just deepen their relationship. Or God, whether it's people that are just sitting there and it's just kind of gone past or not sinking in, or they think that really what I was saying was about the person sitting next to them. It's not. I just hope you get my heart on this, because I just feel this really strongly right now. Like, this God's power and his love and his grace is not for the person sitting, like it is for the person sitting beside you, but it's not just for that person, it is for you. And when I say you, don't even think that I'm talking to the person next to you still, even there, because I'm talking to you. And God's power and grace is there, and I'm just right now feeling a little bit of how much God wants that with you, and how much he wants you to be one of his children, and how he has this incredible stuff just there for you, and he's just waiting to pour out incredible stuff if you would just dig up the stuff that he's given you and give it to him and use it. Let his power into your life, please. And if we would just do that, like, God just wants to move in our hearts, and we put so much stuff in the way. Whether it's, I don't know what it is in your life, but maybe you're thinking of something right now. Or maybe you're not even aware of it, but it's there and you feel a coldness or a hardness. And you can feel God's trying to break through with that. And I'm sorry if this is, like, usually explosion, we're pretty relaxed with this. And that's good. But I'm just, God's trying to, honestly, what I feel right now, God is trying to speak into somebody's life or a few people's lives, and they're stopping him. And God is sitting there and he's waiting to pour out, like, incredible blessing. And it's not about... And this is for me as well. We spend so much in our lives that, like, God is trying to pour into us. But we were just distracted and we just put up walls. And God, I just pray that you would just break those down right now. God, that your power would be in our lives in a real way. God, that it wouldn't be about the law or religion or something like that, but it would be a real connection with you. That we would live lives that just come from your power, and God, your peace would be in our hearts and guard our hearts, Lord. And that we would have these lives that go beyond, Lord, that go beyond the natural, that go beyond what we expect or we anticipate or we hold on to, God, that we wouldn't hold on to the stuff that we've built around our heart and our lives as precious, but that we would give it to you. Thank you, God. God, I just thank you for every heart and every life here tonight, and for the incredible plan and the incredible purpose that you have for every single person in this room. God, that you died, that Jesus died on the cross and rose again for every single person in this room, and that there was not one of us that missed out on that incredible gift. And Lord, we know that that's just a gift, and we want to accept that tonight. And I just want to pray with you, maybe, if you want to raise your hand, if you're feeling that. I don't know whether you don't know God at all, whether he's just trying to deal with some stuff in your spirit and you want some fresh kind of a freedom and you want to feel that again, or you're just feeling something and you just feel like you need to respond to God, then I just want to pray with you. So maybe if you could just like raise your hand so that I can know who I'm praying for with that. Sweet. Awesome. Thanks, guys. God, thank you so much for your grace and for your love, for the stuff that you pour out on us all the time. And God, I thank you for every person here and for the people who had the courage to put up their hand. And God, I pray that you would just wash us fresh and give us just a fresh anointing and a fresh touch of your spirit, God, and that you would just help us to put you first and to understand why we would do that, Lord, and that you would just move in our hearts and our lives and that you would use us in incredible ways, God. We offer up what we've got to you, Lord, the stuff that you've put into our lives. We give it to you, God, so that you can bless it and you can do something with it that's incredible, God. We do not want to bury it anymore. God, help us to be in close relationship with you and connect with you daily and hear what you're saying through your word, because you've given that incredible gift to us, and just be real in our hearts. Thank you, God. Amen. Cool. Hopefully some of that spoke to you. And I suppose I really feel like God's trying to speak to some hearts and some lives. So just please just don't be like, don't try and stop that, I suppose. Don't, when you're feeling God's spirit, like have a soft heart to God. Whether you would call yourself religious or not, have a soft heart to God and let him speak. Yeah. Amen.